And now, an Envision Financial podcast with Luke Smith on Canberra's 2CC.
Good afternoon to Luke Smith from Envision Financial.
Mate, the best time of the week on a Friday afternoon.
It almost is. 6 o'clock's pretty
almost,
good.
Almost. I'll give it to you.
I was always like knockoff time on a Friday. That's always... You know, Friday's the best day of the week because you has all of the thrill of anticipation, none of the disappointment of reality. Because you wake up on Saturday morning, you suddenly realise, oh no, I've got to wash the car, got to do the groceries, got to do this, got to do that. But on Friday afternoon, you're not thinking of any of that stuff.
No, you've got two nice sleeps and plenty of time to worry about what you're going to do. So
yeah, exactly.
I much prefer Friday night to Saturday night.
Yeah. Okay, so as I said, we're talking finance between now and 5 o'clock. And you, if you have a financial question of any kind, you can call in 6255 1206, text 0488 266 266, or email studio at 2cc.net.au. Now, today's topic is things to consider during times of volatility. Now, we're not talking about volatile weather. We're not talking about volatile temperaments of people that you might be married to. Mm-hmm. We're talking about the volatility of the market. There's been a bit of that lately, hasn't there?
Yeah, look, I think it's quite topical at the moment because we've seen a number of different outside influences, I guess, be positive and negative, and depending on which side of the fence you're on, they can be either. We've seen Trumpy give the thumbs of working over on some tweets.
That's the big one lately, isn't it?
Yeah, look, it's always going to be some of those X factors that, you know, have the ability to sway perception and outlooks and earnings and cause concern. You know, they can also be very good and cause a lot of, you know, positive momentum as well. So, you know, we're seeing that happen. And I think it's really a time when people need to have a broader or a confirmation of why they're doing what they're doing and how they're doing it, because their ability to understand their risk profile, I think, is the first thing that they need to keep in mind. I think a lot of people are caught in the trap of doing what their mates do. We see that quite a lot. People will come in and try and explain why they hold the assets they do, and 9 times out of 10 they have absolutely no idea why they've got what they've got or what it's doing for them. And that could be a share, that could be property, it could be, you know, any asset class. So I think the first thing I'd say to people during times of volatility is understand your risk profile, which really at the end of the day is a sleep test of what sort of volatility or what sort of movement could I handle, be it positive or negative, generally negative, without being up all night and waking up in a cold sweat.
I think one of the important things to remember about volatility is it is exactly that. What's bad news one day is going to be good news the next day. Don't get too caught up in it. Take a longer-term view, especially with the Donald Trump effect. As you say, one bad tweet, markets go south, but 24 hours later they bounce back again because, oh, no, the trade talks are back on again.
Correct. And look, that's a really good example of where people just need to take a longer-term view, because unless you've gone out and placed investments that were of a short-term nature, you generally wouldn't be buying things that would be exposed to large capital changes in value or increased levels of volatility with a shorter time frame. So people need to keep in mind that a lot of their super and a lot of their broader retirement plans, whilst you may be retiring soon, the money is there for potentially 5, 10, 15, 20 years, unless you plan on predeceasing your spouse without letting anyone know. The fact that you are retiring and the fact that the money is there doesn't mean that you look to say, well, I'm going to retire in 2 years. That's my time frame. Super's there as something that will fund lifestyle in the future for an unlimited period of time, for as lucky as, you know, you're able to be here. So people need to keep in mind that, you know, they hold things that are appropriate for their time frame. They understand the assets that they have, and they don't get caught up in that short-term sort of noise, because it's very easy to hear people on the news while you're eating your cereal say, oh, the market dropped $5 trillion last night.
Yes.
And you look up from your cereal and go, oh, wow. If somebody said, oh, your market was off 2.5%, you'd say pass the milk and carry on.
Yes.
So it's very easy to get caught up in the hype, because bad news generally, you know, sells papers.
And of course, human nature being what it is, one of the worst things you can do in bad news is panic and sell stuff that you should be keeping.
Yeah, look, exactly. And that, I guess that comes down to, you know, the point I've got on here is, you know, one, bad news sells papers, and two, you know, good quality assets last.
Exactly. You know, and when you're in that phase of life, either approaching retirement or already in retirement, you may well have a portfolio of shares, but you're probably also more likely to have some managed funds, wouldn't you?
Yeah, look, exactly. And then it comes back to having a really good level of diversification to be able to offset these sorts of changes in value, because at no point in time do you ever want, as the old adage says, all your eggs in one basket.
Exactly.
So you can have some shares, you can have some managed funds, you can have some fixed interest, you could have some converting preference shares, some cash, some term deposits. Understanding your risk profile then comes down to saying, right, let's delve under the hood and look at our underlying asset allocation, because the right asset allocation for people will give them the ability to make money in positive markets, limit the downside in weaker markets, but generally be able to achieve their outcome and be able to, especially for those that are retired, generate a really strong income stream, because income is very, very valuable during times of volatility, because if you have a well-constructed income stream in your super fund or your pension account, you're not as reliant on the capital value of your assets. And what I mean by that is this. If you have $1 million invested and it generates a cash distribution through a diversified portfolio, including franking credits of, say, $40,000 to $45,000, and you need $50,000 to $60,000 to live, you're not reliant on the capital value of the portfolio as much as you would be if you generated $20,000 of income, where you may need to sell other assets to fund your lifestyle. So for me, having a really strong reoccurring income stream in your portfolio is a very good way to try and dampen the impacts of volatility, because it's something that will be reoccurring. And it's also then a good way of making sure that you can attain outperformance. And as you said, have managed funds in there. In times of volatility, I'm happy to, you know, have a slant in a portfolio towards actively managed funds. And what I mean by that is having specific areas of the markets targeted with active fund managers that can try and get some outperformance within their respective funds or products that you may not get from a broader index or a more passive investment like an ETF or an exchange-traded fund. So, again, understanding your risk profile and how you make up your portfolio is really, really important, because it needs to be good in the good and also as good as it can be in times of bad weather.
You've mentioned a number of times a risk profile. So, obviously, when we talk about a risk profile, you're talking about whether or not you're set up to deal with this sort of volatility and what the risk is to your investments and so forth. But are there things that could happen that would change your risk profile, that would change the way you need to have your investments structured?
Yeah, look, exactly. So, when I talk risk profile, the analogy I use very often is, how fast do you want to drive the car?
Okay.
If we're in a 100 zone and you're doing between 90 and 110, you're generally going to be okay. If you're doing 40, and let's call 40 cash and fixed interest, you're not getting any growth. The current rate of return is very poor. The outlook for earnings is quite low. So it's as dangerous as going too fast.
Okay.
Because you're unable to offset the effect of inflation, and it generally won't help you meet the income needs that you may require to fund the lifestyle that you want to lead. Similarly, if you do 170 in a 100 zone, you then can't get upset if you get pulled over and get a ticket.
No.
So that could, let's call that high risk investment.
That's high risk, very
high
risk.
When I talk risk profile, I'm talking about finding a suitable speed for you and then designing a portfolio around that speed to get the outcome that you're after. So some of the things that will impact that will obviously be the time frame.
Yeah.
Okay, how long are we investing for? Also, how are we going to generate our income? We touched a little bit earlier on having a good income stream, because it will then reduce our need to worry about how much money we draw from the broader portfolio. And it's only human nature to say, well, I don't want to sell anything when things are down. I'd really like to sell them when they're up. But unfortunately, if you've got a boat cruise to pay for and you haven't allowed for it, it's
that's exactly right. I also know from personal experience, when things are up and you think, maybe I should sell that, It's also human nature to say, no, I'm not going to sell it now because it's going to keep going up. Look, and sometimes you're wrong.
Look, spot on. And I think one of the things I saw, you know, having been an advisor through the GFC, was getting people to sell things at ridiculous prices. Like I remember when Rio was at 140, you know, BHP was mid $45.
Yeah.
Trying to get them to sell those at the time, exactly what you've just said. No, they're going great.
Yeah.
Let's keep those alone.
Exactly.
So it's against fighting that human nature to ride that winning horse into the sunset.
Yeah, and I guess to some degree too, the idea of risk profile is an emotional thing too. You have to feel comfortable about what you're doing, don't you?
Yeah, look, at the end of the day, I think risk profile is, you know, you could call it a sleep test.
Yeah.
You know, it's been able to go to bed at night and be comfortable with what you've done and the parameters under which you've done it. I think people need a better understanding of diversification and what different sectors do. I think that's another thing that could impact people's risk profile, is a lot of people don't understand what broader sectors do. They have a general understanding of residential property because most people own a home. They also have an understanding of term deposits and basic investment structures. But a lot of people don't understand how generally fixed interest funds work, how Australian equities pay dividends, how commercial property on the yield that you could expect to receive. So people can have a better understanding of diversification and the underlying sector and what it's doing in their portfolio. A lot of people get upset because fixed interest assets haven't grown. Well, they're not in there to do that.
No.
It's just like international assets provide more of their return through capital growth than dividends, because that's the way that they're structured. So getting an understanding of what the different slices of the pizza are doing in your portfolio can also give people a little bit more comfort and a little bit more clarity when they move through times of more volatile markets.
And we're talking about what to do during times of volatility, and there's certainly been a bit of that lately. I guess one of the important questions is, where do people often come unstuck during times of volatility? What are the big mistakes that people can make?
Yeah, look, I think that's a really, really good comment, because it's human nature to try and repeat behaviour and think that you're going to get a different outcome. I think someone a lot smarter than me once said something along those lines. But I think the first sort of mistake people make is general assumptions about an asset class. You know, it's the old adage that, you know, shares are risky and property will double every 10 years. Well, everything needs to be taken on face value on an individual asset basis, because there's plenty of people out there that have bought units around the country and houses around the country that may or may not have doubled. And it's
timing. If you've managed to get a bit of bad luck with your timing, you might buy a house and you might spend 10 years not seeing any capital growth on it.
Yeah, look, exactly. And I think people need to step away from those old adages and those general assumptions and actually look under the hood, because shares and property and commercial property and all those sorts of things, they can be as safe or as risky as you really want to make them. Obviously, everything has an element of risk to it, but I think people come unstuck when they chop and change their approach. They don't stick to their knitting and they try and chase this year's winner next year. And you can look at, you know, performance of different asset classes over the last 20 to 30 years, and you can pretty much guarantee that this year's winner is not next year's winner. So having that diversification piece addressed and appropriately managed is obviously going to give you that long-term benefit.
Yeah.
Again, to touch on what we spoke about before the break, I think a lot of people don't understand what different asset classes do in a portfolio, so they get upset expecting something that's not going to happen. You know, getting growth from fixed interest, or, you know, thinking that you're not going to get a strong income stream from commercial or listed property, or that you're going to get income and growth from Australian equities. Depending on what you buy and what you hold is going to then impact the overall return, as you said. You've got to get your timing right, your sectors, and depending on what's happening in the economy. People get frustrated and then become disenfranchised. I think people also come unstuck when they buy things for the wrong reason. And what I mean by that is, In a falling environment with cash at the moment, it's harder and harder to generate outperformance from different asset classes in relation to income. And if your measure is, what can I earn that's more than cash, going out and buying equities may not be the right thing for you, because you're buying them potentially for the wrong reason. And if we're trying to generate an income stream and you go out and buy a bank stock that's overpriced, because everybody buys bank stocks because they pay good dividends and the market comes off, you generally find those same people go, oh, shares are too risky.
Yeah.
Well, shares weren't too risky. You just bought it for the wrong reason with irrational expectations. doesn't mean that the underlying asset class or the individual share actually has anything wrong with it. So I think chasing income blindly can be dangerous in a fully priced market where valuations are starting to get pretty full or fairly stretched, because we've seen, you know, the ASX 200 hit 6,900 points at, you know, record levels and then sort of pull back a touch. But there's still a number of good quality stocks out there that are fully priced, depending on how you value them, that if you race out and buy them to get more than cash, you may actually be buying them for the wrong reason.
At the moment, that's very tempting, though, isn't it? Because there are plenty of shares to choose from where the dividend is certainly at a higher percentage rate than any kind of interest you're going to get on a deposit.
Oh, very much so, you know, yes. And this is where the temptation, you know, the just because it glitters doesn't make it gold analogy really comes into play here, because you need to be comfortable with why you're buying something and what it's doing for you, and you need to accept that you could see 15 or 20% struck off its value.
And just because it paid a dividend this year doesn't mean it will next year. The company might suffer bad times and might have to not declare a dividend for a number of years.
Correct, correct. And that's another thing that people come unstuck, is they make the assumption that the dividend is tied to a movement in share price. And the Royal Commission is a very good example of that, where if a certain sector's on the nose and the value of things have come under pressure because it's in the media, during the Royal Commission, the banks also reported, you know, significant profit levels and maintained all of their dividends. Now, that's not to say that you could blindly expect that in the future, but if you saw a 20% swing in someone's share price, to assume that there's going to be a 20% swing in their earnings, it's not necessarily a direct correlation. No. So you need to, again, understand why you're buying something and what it's doing in the portfolio. So they're the key things. Understand what you're buying, maintain an appropriate amount of diversification, stick to your knitting, try not to chop and change, remember why you bought your assets, and think with the longer term, because just because you've retired, you'd like to be alive for a lot longer than your working life.
So exactly.
Your time frame is actually a lot more than you think.
Where do we go for more information?
Yeah, look, so, you know, people can go to our website at www.envisionfinancial. That's Envision with an E. Envisionfinancial.com.au. They can go to the Knowledge Centre there. Obviously, we've got the show on iTunes as a podcast, and they can then obviously subscribe to Envision Financial Canberra, where we have an education piece where we have the show and we break down the key takeouts for people to take some information. And obviously, they can ring us 6260 4749.
Luke, thanks very much, and we'll catch you again next week.
Pleasure. See you next week.